You're listening to the Modern Producer Podcast, expert talk on livestock housing and animal husbandry. Get ready for today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Modern Producer Podcast. Jake Peterson here again as your host today. We have a fun episode today. We've got Neil Armour joining us from the AgriHub side of things. Neil is located up to the north, our northern neighbors in Canada. And Neil, what's your title? Why don't you go ahead and kind of introduce yourself before I babble too much more?
Nice. So I'm the health and safety manager for the AgriHub group of companies, one of them being New Standard. I look after the health and safety for all our employees, trying to branch out a little bit and give some advice where we can to our farming partners.
Yeah. Awesome. So I would not have gotten that totally right. So I appreciate you clarifying what you're up to. So, So Neil, we first met, he actually did one of the articles for us in the last Modern Producer magazine, around kind of safety culture. And that's what we're really going to kind of explore and discuss today. So Neil, is this something you went to school for, or is just something you kind of fell into? Can you give us a little background on yourself?
Yeah, a little bit of both. So safety was never in my, when growing up, my thought of what I would do as a profession. Mm-hmm. I worked at the Utah Olympic Park during the Olympics in 2002. Part of my job was I was on the hazmat response team. So if we had the ammonia leak in our bobsled track, respond to that. And I did some more education more in that field in environmental response and emergency management. It's a little bit of safety.
Okay.
I moved back to Canada. I couldn't find a job. So did some more courses. I did a certification with the National Association of Safety Professionals, a US-based one, but more safety orientated. I came across a job from a contact doing consulting construction. Spent several years doing that, learning a lot, seeing a lot of different things. Again, nothing I ever thought that I would want to do. It was nice because you're not doing the same thing every day. You're on different locations, seeing different things and talking to people. That's what I really enjoyed about the job most, is its communication. And I look at safety, or what I learned, the safety is more of a sales position than anything else. I'm selling a product.
Okay. Yeah.
From that, I moved around a little bit, different industries. I ended up working for Rocky Mountain Equipment, a KSH dealership across Western Canada. I spent some time there. And then I found my way to Penna Farm Services and AgriHub. That's where I am today.
Great. So the Olympics, you got to have a cool story from that. Anything you want to share?
it was my second favorite place to work. Yeah. I love being at AgriHub, to be honestly. It was a really cool job. Lots of really different experiences. I got to drive bobsleds, tried luge.
Wow.
Long, hard hours.
I bet.
Yeah. Great people, meet athletes. I could talk about that forever. I still go down on occasion. My brother-in-law lives in Utah. He's a risk manager. He does a little bit of training at the park still, so I go down on occasion, do some things with him.
Okay. Yeah, that's super cool. So it's fun to hear those tidbits sometimes. So the article that was done in the Modern Producer was, I think we titled it, you know, creating a safety culture on the farm. Can you give us just kind of a broad definition of what is safety culture?
Yeah, so the simplest definition I would say is it's the group of people's attitude toward safety. What are their beliefs? Do they support it? Do they don't support it? So you can have a good safety culture, a bad safety culture, or a neutral. I'm going to say everywhere has a culture. Mm-hmm. It's just where it falls into that range.
Right. So, and you're probably talking about everything from, you know, the mom and pop farm, right? Where it's you know, the parents that are running things and then the kids that are working, to probably, you know, larger operations that, you know, maybe dozens or even more employees. You know, is this something that can apply to small and large operations? What do you see with people adopting a safety culture, and what does that kind of look like?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't really matter if you're 1,000 employees, 2 employees, 1 person, you still have an attitude towards safety.
Yeah.
And for me and my focus on safety, I am not a rules driven person. I think they have their place, mm-hmm. but to be effective, to get that culture, people have to understand the motivation, why they're doing something, and the outcomes if they don't do it or do it differently. So whether it's just me by myself or a family of four working as a small hobby farm, even mm-hmm. there's still things that are always going to be hazards. And so you can have the view, I want to take care of my family and be safe. And it's not a cumbersome thing to do, although at times it can be.
Right.
Or you can have the attitude, I don't care. I have to get the job done.
Yeah.
So we have our positive safety culture and our where it would be our negative. And in the middle, maybe you haven't given it that much thought. Mm-hmm. So it's a neutral. I'm not for it. I'm not against it. I just don't bring it on the radar.
Yeah. Hoping people maybe have that common sense coming in. Yeah. Don't put your hand in there or, yep. Secure this or do that, or don't mix those chemicals. Yeah. That assumption gets us in trouble a lot of times. Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, what does it look like in operation, coming in and they probably have something. If they've been up and running, they obviously have some sort of, plan in place for safety and whatnot. But what does it look like to kind of shape that and get more on the better side of the culture and more built up safety culture? What are some places people can start?
Well, some of the challenging things is the not knowing what the hazards or the outcomes or the attitude that a lot of people have, probably myself and most people included, where I just got to get it done, has to get done. Yeah. I mentioned I spent a lot of time in Utah. My nephews grew up milking, working for other dairy farmers. I spent all my vacation time down there with my sister's kids. Went with them when they're in high school, one of them to a dairy barn where he worked at, small operation. I think they had about 80 head of cattle. It was a 6-stall barn that he milked out of, and just watching some of the things he was doing. Very smart kid, not against safety, but the attitude again, we just get stuff done. That's how we do it. And I watched him. Yeah. I wasn't working in agriculture at this point. Leaning over to change a breaker, standing in water, cobwebs out of the panel, scared me a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's not that he was against safety. It's just one of those things that never, what could happen, if there's an arc flash, I'm standing in water. It's just that I have to go and I have to get the job done.
Yeah.
He wants to be safe. He doesn't want to get hurt. So it's just a little bit of education and explaining why. So why I'm so excited to be in safety and why I love my job so much is I think back to that instance with Caleb, and I want to be able to, share the knowledge and try and help people build that culture so they are safer. Because it's always going to be, there's not enough time, things have to get done. That thought's always going to come into our mind, right?
Yep.
But if we can look back and say, what is our motivation? Why do we do the things that we do? And for me, it's, I'm not helping Caleb doing my job here, but I'm helping somebody, hopefully. I'm helping somebody's son, daughter, whoever.
Yeah, I guess it would be my assumption that sometimes safety is kind of, it's a hindsight thing. It's not always something that's addressed until something terrible happens, right? Until somebody gets hurt.
Exactly.
Or worse. So, how do people start, start those conversations with their staff or management? Obviously every operation is different. A hog barn is going to be different than a turkey farm versus a dairy operation. They all have their own things or handling grain, right? So is it a matter of kind of exploring and just like making a list of, here's all the stuff that's dangerous on our farm, what are we going to do to address these things? Because at the same time, that can be a big mountain to climb, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It can be intimidating. There's a lot of different things that you could encounter. Mm-hmm. And the key is not to get overwhelmed with it and say, this is too much. I can't do it. It's not for me. Okay. Start small. Pick one thing. Identify a hazard.
Okay.
Talk to people about it. Let people know the safety is not something we're scared of. We're not against. We want our family members to be safe. We want to go home at the end of the day with all our fingers and toes. Pick out a hazard, identify stuff. You said to make a list. That's an easy thing, and trying to find those really high risk things that are going to have a serious consequence and start with that.
Right. Right.
There's always going to be stuff. And the key thing is to, move forward a little bit at a time.
Okay.
I think it's unrealistic to say, okay, let's take a week and identify all our hazards, make a program and then be done with it. That's not going to be effective.
Right. Right. So you talk about communication too. So say you've got this list, you've got the things you're going to start working on. What have you found to be effective ways to start communicating and kind of educating your employees on, hey, here's how we maybe did this before, but here's how we're going to be doing this now. Cause I know adoption of these things, sometimes it takes time, right? You know, yeah. For people to start doing things. What have been some effective ways that you've found, as far as communication goes?
Well, I think one of the most important things is whether it's family, employees, you have to build a relationship with the people you're looking out for and help them to understand, not that this is the way we do it because I said so, mm-hmm. but let them know the consequences if they don't. So they, yeah. it's not just the rule is put on a hard hat when you're outside mm-hmm. because I said so. Mm-hmm. Well, explain to them, in this situation, this may fall or that, the reason why we do it, and they're more likely to do it when you're not there watching them.
Right, right. That's good. Okay. You also talk about leading by example, and I think, you know, that segues really nicely, obviously, explaining why. But yeah, if you're not wearing a hard hat and you're telling the other folks to, or, you know, doing things one way because it needs to get done, you know, we got to kind of probably change internally as well as managers, bosses and whatnot. Anything more to speak about on that, as opposed to leading by example?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest things you can do to make or break your program. Like if people see you doing something, they're going to follow you, especially if you they have your respect mm-hmm. and you respect them, which is key. It's got to go both ways. But if I ask somebody to do something and I'm not doing it, they see that. They're not going to take it seriously. They're going to think, and I've had some conversations with people over the years, and the manager will tell me, well, I'm not going to ask my employee to do it because it's too dangerous, so I'll do it instead.
Okay.
I totally understand where they're coming from and their yeah. logic behind it. They care right. about their employees, but the example they're setting, people see it and they say, well,
I could have done
okay
that.
It's okay for him, but it's not okay for me, right? So
yeah. 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 That's kind of how we work, unfortunately, sometimes
yep.
good or bad. So, yep. yeah. Yeah. So, you know, as farmers and producers are listening to this, I think they're all going to relate with, yeah, you know, there's a lot that needs to get done while the sun's up. Right. And sometimes when the sun's down,
yep.
what have you seen about, you know, well, yeah, doing things that way, it's going to take more time. And I've done it 400 times already and nothing bad's ever happened. How can you speak to kind of that attitude and maybe how to begin to change?
Well, the first thing I'll tell people is everybody that's been involved in a serious incident has probably said before that it's not going to happen to me. It happens to other people.
Yeah.
And they'll say that until it happens to them.
Right.
And I know there's always the rush. Things always have to get done, but you have mm-hmm. to step back a little bit and say, well, what if this does happen? What are the consequences? Mm-hmm. You can go back and see articles of whole families. There was one, I think it was last year, got into a manure pit, I think is what happened. Mm-hmm. And whole family, or no, it was, yeah, I think it was a manure pit, confined space, toxic gas issue for at least 3 brothers, I believe, were killed. It's great that we have to do things. We have to get it done. But look what happens if we're not going to be able to continue our farming operation. How does it affect the ones we're leaving behind, right?
Right.
And maybe it's not a fatality. I get seriously injured and I can't work for 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. How many? I don't know any farmer that can just say during the busy season, I'm going to take 2 weeks off vacation.
Right.
It doesn't happen.
Yep.
You can't take a day off vacation, right?
Yep. Totally. Yeah. 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 When you get to the life and death part of it, of course, it's very easy. You know, today's not my day. Right. But when we're in these yep. dangerous situations, how do you really know?
Yeah.
So
so that's where it comes back to identifying what the hazard, what is the potential, what could go wrong, and knowing about it.
Yeah.
That's the first step, is being able to know, okay,
awareness.
What am I doing? What's going to happen? What could happen to me?
Okay. Yeah, that's good. So how do you go about, you know, the kind of the training and resources and what kind of stuff's out there for, maybe there's things that folks aren't aware of, right? That are dangerous when they're making that list. What kind of resources are out there? What kind of things, can you point people to?
Depending on the location you live in, a lot of local, whether it's construction association. The government will have an agricultural safety association that has a lot of good resources. Okay. British Columbia, for example, does an excellent job.
And
it really starts just asking yourself some key things. What is your operation? Confined spaces are a big one. So identify what confined spaces they have. Falls from heights. And moving, I would say our biggest three hazards you should be looking at are the confined spaces, falls, and moving machinery and equipment. That's where I would say a lot of your more serious incidents are going to happen on the farm.
Okay.
Identify those. Look for help. If people want to contact me, great. We don't currently offer a service where I'm going to come out, do an assessment for you, build you a program. But I love talking to people. I'm never going to turn anybody away. If I'm in the area traveling and I'm by the location, I'd love to come for a visit and look at some things and help people out. That would be make my day. My favorite part of the job is when I get to go on into a barn.
Yeah.
See what's going on.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think that speaks to kind of, you know, the AgriHub philosophy, you know, we build farms, right? So it's just another facet of the team is the safety side of things. So, that's great. So what about technology when it comes to safety? I'm kind of curious, you know, new standards have been implementing a lot of these, you know, fusion controllers and the technology and the power of automation and all these things. What are kind of some trends or things that you're seeing in the safety world as far as tech goes?
Well, I don't think there's been a lot of changes in the safety field as automation, but automation itself is changing safety. Just by simply taking the hazard away from the employee. Ultimately, the best thing we can do is eliminate the hazard altogether, but that's not always a practical thing or possible thing to do. What automation has allowed is to take that, put that separation so the employee, worker, whoever is not right in contact with the hazard. And that is one of the, I think, the big drivers in the future as we, you know, look towards, we talked about automated vehicles, processes. It's totally changing the game. If we can get those people that separation from the hazard, naturally their incidents are going to go down.
Right. Yeah, that's okay. Great. That's exciting. You know, obviously, you know, a whole barn run by robots some days is probably not out of the question, right? And mitigating this risk. But I think there's always going to be a human element there. So, and variables and whatnot. So,
and so the part of that too is as we take the human element out a little bit, we have to remember there is still going to be some contact and not rely on the automation to protect us. I think it was yesterday. I listened to a bit of a podcast from Mike Rowe.
Yeah.
And at first I was really like, oh, I don't like the sound of this, but he was saying safety's third. Because when you get to the point where everybody says safety's first, you forget about yourself and thinking somebody else is looking out for my safety. Ultimately, we're responsible for our own safety. So if we have that to that, well, I have policies and procedures and rules, I can just do that and go along with how things are going. We still put ourselves at pretty good risk. We always have to be alert to what's happening, no matter how great our program is and what our culture is.
Right.
We still have to be thinking, I'm still responsible. So everything is automated. Nothing could go wrong. Things can still go wrong. We need to be alert, be aware of what our surroundings are and know what the hazards in our workplace are.
Right. It makes me think of, you know, automated driving, right. And the Teslas and the folks who are taking a nap while their car's going 80 miles an hour. You know, it's like at the end of the day, you're responsible for this vehicle. Yeah. It might get you there, you know, a few times, but the time it doesn't, right. You know, who does that come back on?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, Neil. Well, if there was one thing you could tell people today and you've told people, there's been lots of great nuggets here, but what would be kind of a nugget of advice or a place to maybe start or something to consider?
Well, the first thing I'd say is you have to individually find out what is your motivation. Why do you think you should be safe, or why do you want your farm to be safe? That's got to be it, because without that, if it's because, well, I don't want to get a fine from the government or I got to follow the rules, that only goes so far. You really got to find what is driving your motivation to build that culture. And it's going to come. And then the next thing, just be start small. Don't get overwhelmed. Little steps. Find a hazard. Find a solution for it. Move on to the next one.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Well, Neil, it's been awesome having you. I think, you know, there's lots more we can dive into as far as this goes, getting into specifics even, you know, yep. Hey, safety in your hog barn, safety in your turkey barn, dairy, grain, et cetera. And yeah, we'd love to have you back to talk more on those individual things as well. So yeah. Hey, everybody, thanks for jumping in today. Neil, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And again, if anybody wants to reach out, contact me. Love to talk to you.
Yeah, that I will put Neil's contact information in the show notes, so you can jump over to New Standards website, check that out there. It'll be in the podcast notes as well. And yeah, thanks everybody. Have a great day.